the Senate please come back to order? Okay, we're on second reading of Senate File 1, the budget bill. We are on second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 1. It's the Johnson, Jobes, Jennings Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 5, budget affected, number 45, Department of Transportation.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move Senate File Amendment number 5, second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 1. And, Mr. President, in the original budget, the governor recommended 15 highway patrol positions, and in their wisdom, the Appropriations Committee cut that down to 2, and amendment number 5 increases it by 13 back up to the 15. We have a study from the Northwest University Traffic Institute police allocation model in 2002 and renewed in 2004 that shows that Wyoming really needs 310 officers, including supervisors. The current staff is 200, and we've been working our way up slowly with a few more positions every year as they can be allocated to go through the academy in Douglas and then through the Highway Patrol training itself. The positions that we passed last year were allocated to Pinedale, Parson, Shoshone, Sundance, and Big Piney. These 13 positions, if we do get them, will go to Gillette, Newcastle, Midwest, Pornington, Douglas Lusk, Bags, Rock Springs, Lyman, LaBarge, Jackson, Dubois, Matisse, Shoshone, and the one assigned to Buffalo will not be allowed to go south of I-90. So, with that, Mr. President, I stand ready for questions and any information that anybody would like to receive that I hope I know.
Questions, Senator Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we've heard the information, and with respect to the study, through the appropriations process, we get studies from a variety of groups creating models to create staffing levels. They're designed to help people secure positions. And so there certainly are. There's law enforcement advocates that have models to tell you how many employees you have. This is the sponsored amendment is accurate. We have provided new positions periodically. In the last administration, the last governor put in 10 positions, and since then we put in and we funded those after he left office, and we funded a couple positions every year since then. I submit to you that there's, in a sense, this is an area where you could put all the positions you want, and they still wouldn't have enough positions. The budget for this item right now is $65 million. There's 262 positions after our action. You take another $1 million, that's a mile of pavement. And you multiply that out 10 years in this pavement. So you are choosing between roads and pavements and law enforcement. And this is judgment call. Now, it doesn't come out of the general fund. But to the extent that you approve it, again, it's a loss in revenue from the highway funds that are used for highway construction. So it hits your pocket. And it's a choice you have to make. But we have put in positions consistently. And we did give two more positions this year.
Further discussion? Further discussion? From your breath.
We have the privilege of the floor because the group has finally arrived. It's all right to be there.
Senator Barrasso, if the group has arrived, let's have the floor.
Okay, well, this is the group. First, I got a note, Mr. President, that they were going to arrive at 10:30. And then I got a note that they were going to arrive at 2:30. And they have finally arrived, Mr. President, after their bus broke down 25 miles north of town. Fortunately, Mr. President, after a long delay, a sole, lonely but brave highway patrol officer came to their rescue. He gave them stickers to wear, and he gave them pencils. And then a bus from Cheyenne came and rescued them after being protected and guarded by this same highway patrol officer. They are finally here. Members of the Senate, please join me in welcoming the fifth grade class from Crest Hill Elementary School in Casper. Thank you, Mr. President.
Welcome, fifth graders. As props to this amendment, you are entitled to some reimbursement. Welcome to Cheyenne and enjoy your stay. Further discussion on second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 1 before the sponsor takes the second shot. Further discussion? Senator Johnson, do you want a second shot?
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know how ominous that is. As the chairman of the Appropriations Committee said, this is not state funds. These are highway safety funds. They can only be used for highway safety. They can't be used for pavement. So we're not taking money away from pavement. They're specifically federal funds for highway safety, and normally they go into the patrol. As you well know, one final fact, we only have two shifts of patrol out there. And when something happens, when there is no shift of a patrol, one of them who's on duty has to get up, get dressed, get in the car, and go to wherever the problem is. And sometimes that can take an awfully long time. I really look forward to the day we can actually have three shifts of patrol troopers out there for the safety of our state and the safety of our citizens. So again, Mr. President, I hope that Senate would approve this amendment.
The question is, on second reading amendment number 5, to Senate File 1, would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DiCaria? Becht?
No.
Geis?
No.
Castert?
Aye.
Hines? Jenny,
aye.
Joe,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Mockler,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Peck excuse, Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
no.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed. 17 ayes, 12 noes, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 5 has passed the Senate. Second reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 1, the Geist, Meyer, Perkins, Vasey Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 7, budgets affected, 45, Department of Transportation.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, I move Senate Standing Committee number 2 to the transportation bill. What they're doing here It was on page 16. It might be on. I just don't talk that loud. I don't know. I can yield to some of the minds to explain the bill. Do that.
Senator Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this goes into the Department of Transportation in two different areas, Mr. Chairman. Page 16, line 16, we increased the general funds to airport construction. This is for your runways and things like that. On page 16, line 18, we increased the funds for highways, the Department of Transportation, by $47 million, Mr. President, and for a total over the biennium of $175 million. I think this gets us just about almost exactly what they came in and asked for at the very beginning of the biennium, so we're about on track on that. But, Mr. President, I wish it could be a lot more. I really do, but I know things are tight, and we've got other priorities, and that's why we held it down to this much, Mr. President. I hope for your favorable consideration.
Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, with respect to this amendment, you need to just decide whether or not this is the level of priority you want to put into it. As a spreadsheet that I put out today, I put in the number, and this will ultimately give airports $10 million more dollars and $100 million more dollars for highway construction. If you recall, when we started out, I put in $35 million in the category of contingencies. This, in effect, takes the entire contingency, so that as we go down the, if we approve it at this level and we approve other things, then we're going to end up having to come back and clip back a little, provided, that is, if we want to adhere to the notion that we're going to stick with $180 million as the limit of the new spending, which I submit is a wise move to make. Now, the dilemma that each of you have is that if you vote for it because you support this level and you think it's of equal weight to the items that we've already passed, then at the end of the day, we'll decide, we'll come back, and if we have spent too much, we can clip off a little bit from other entities. Another way to approach it is to say, no, this is too high. Come back on third reading with something more modest. So it's really, I'm neither speaking for nor against it, just saying I know this is an important area for a lot of people. If you think that this is the level that you want to support it and vote for it, but recognize that you've used all of the contingency dollars of 35, and everything gets harder from here on out, but we'll find a way to make the budget work, but it everything gets tough after this.
Senator Markley.
Mr. President, I guess I certainly have been very convinced that the highways need additional money, but is there any reporting back to KAC that says what they're going to use these dollars for, as opposed to when they're using their own money? I mean, I guess my real concern is, when we start putting one-time money, I'm comfortable with it being for construction or reconstruction. I'm a little anxious that they're using this for maintenance, because it is one-time money, and it won't be there if we overbuild and then have no money to maintain. So because we're changing very much how we work this process, have we found some way that the department can come in and show how they're using these dollars?
Mr. Vice President? Mr. Vice President, would you take the chair, please?
We'll continue with the discussion and questions in regard to this amendment. Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President. Vice President will recall that a year ago we gave the Wyoming Department of Transportation an additional $75 million of general fund money. And it was a standalone bill. It was a good bill. I don't know whether I voted for it or not, but it was a very good bill. But in case you want to know where the money went to, it was spread out to the various districts and the use of maintenance. That's all. I didn't build any new, didn't repurpose, but maintained. This amendment does not specify what the money will be used for. They can use it any way they want. They have no legislative oversight on the portion of the budget that this is going to. Traditionally, the legislature has stayed away from the federal side, the construction side, if you will, of YDOT's budget. But when you start talking over the past 2 years, a total of $85 million in general fund money going to that budget, this amendment adds 100 plus million to that amount. It seems to me, rather than funding into it, that you should say, how in the world are we going to even know what the money is used for? It just so happens that some of us wanted to know where the last $75 million went, and they'll tell you. They'll tell you. It is not easy to find out. If you're going to go down this road, let me make a suggestion. Step back and say, how are we as a legislature, the people who control the purse strings, going to have any knowledge of where this money's going? Rather than shovel it out on a highway, set up a system. It can be a system model after the water development, where it goes through the highway commission, and then they report to the travel committee. Say, here's where your money is, $100 million or $2 million. But right now, you have no way of finding out other than requesting them to pay. The second thing it seems to me is you need to do is start looking at the operation of that agency. For example, because of the shortfall in money, the number of projects that YDOT worked on dropped by almost 50%, from 135 to 70. I don't know what the percentage is, I can't compute that, but it's 70 plus total projects. The number of project engineers, that's from 2000 to 2006, the number of project engineers grew in that same time frame, 2000 to 2006. I readily confess, I'm no road builder. If you have half the number of projects out there, you don't need as many project engineers, and you sure don't need more project engineers. It seems to me, if you want to put a lot of money in, go about it thoughtfully, set up a system so you can say, we want to look and see where it's going. This is general fund money. This is no longer federal money. We're entering into a whole different ballgame. And we're entering into it in a very, $100 million is big stuff. I urge you to be cautious. Bring an amendment. If you're going to put money into that agency, bring an amendment that provides this body some sort of accountability, some sort of reporting. I don't argue we need to put money into this YDOT. But let's do it thoughtfully, rather than just write them a check and say, boy, I hope it helps transportation. Because that's what you're doing here. This is about a half an amendment. We need some thought put into it. I urge you to vote no.
Senator Geyer.
We had a bill through here earlier that we defeated study. We're going to have an interim study, and I take it that's what the Interim Transportation Committee is going to do this summer. And we'll probably spend the most of our time working with the Highway Department, finding out where this money is being spent, and then we'll have a better handle on it when we come back next year for budget time. It's not appropriate and more money, but top of the highway system. So I hope you would pass this amendment and then let your joint transportation committee do their work this summer and then come back and give you a report and you will know what's going on.
Senator Cole?
Mr. Vice President, I too have concerns, and it's not because I don't believe in good highways and taking care of our highways. I drive a lot in Montana, and if you think you ought to see the roads up there, they're not even close to what we have here. We're very fortunate. There's two bridges up there between Belfry and Bridger, Montana, to go to buildings that stayed around where we replaced back in 50. But I do have concern because we've had discussion on this floor about legislative oversight and what's going on. And there's been two agencies out there that we have slowly and methodically started the process of giving money to without legislative oversight. Obviously, that's Fish and Game. That's supposed to be untouchable. And here we go with YDOT. I'm not saying that YDOT doesn't do a good job. This is a vexing thing. We're going to give them the money. We're going to give them the money and say, you know, we're going to trust you to spend it appropriately. Now, I can tell you, I think the highways in this state are good. Really good. Now, I'm the first to admit we might have an I-80 problem. And I'm the first to admit we might have a 59 problem south of Gillette. And maybe from Rock Springs up to Pine Dale with what Minnows is doing. Generally speaking, and I measured it one day, driving from Cody to Cheyenne, I drove over 40 miles of roads that had just this last summer had either been overlaid or rebuilt. Well, I've gone on I-25. I'm not saying that's a reason to vote against the bill, but I'm telling you we have good highways. But we need to seriously think about accountability. Because if you go out in the state and you talk to people out there, and you tell them that you want to start going through Game and Fish's budget, and you want them to come and go through the Appropriations Committee, and you tell them you want to do it with the Highway Commission and the Highway Department budget, they don't want to be working with that. But yet they want us to appropriate the money. So I heard the question on this amendment. At this particular point in time, I'm going to vote against this amendment and hope that someone brings one back that has the project better defined. We know what we're doing. We know what we're appropriating general fund monies for. Not just writing a check and saying, go spend it and do it wisely.
Senator Vasey.
I'm for the amendment. This fall, like, we had a committee meeting in Sundance, and I left early on a Saturday morning, and was coming back through Gillette down Highway 59. And I've also been north from Rock Springs to Pine Dale and the Jonah Field. And I will tell you this, that the amount of wealth that we have taken from these locations and the conditions that we have two-lane highways, we should be ashamed of ourselves, accountability or not. Those places have provided this state with money for the university, for the community colleges, for everything we spend, and they're still driving on dangerous two-lane highways. So I hope you support this amendment.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard a lot about the increase in the number of projects that have gone down on the highway, and that's very true. They tend to be bundling more projects, trying to get a bigger bang for the buck, and that's real true. But I've also heard about staff increases. And I can tell you that the overall staff increase highway improvements, they've actually lost about 26 people. That's your construction staff, construction district, bridges, contracts, geology. Geology, they went up three. Materials, planning, right-of-way staff, maintenance staff. They gained in support with the executive staff, general staff, budget, IT, employee safety, training. They've gone up 39. These are from 1998, by the way. I'm sorry, 98, so 8 years. 8 years, almost 9 years of data. Of that support staff, they've gone up 39. They went from 171 to 212. 21 of those is in IT. Now, if anybody can think through the fact you have a computer on your desk in the last 8 years, what IT means to every company, that's not a whole lot. In legislative staff, which is the Highway Patrol, Aeronautics, Driver Services, they've gone up approximately 40-some positions. So from 1998, their total employment was 1,950. Their employment today is 2017. That is 67 positions. You want to go to the Department of Health or anybody else in 8 years, and I'm sure you can see a higher percentage of employment gain in that time. Consultant contracts. In 1998, they had 132 consultants, which is the old, not a contract employee, and you don't show them as full-time employees. You can play that game any way you want to do it. But 132 in 98, and they have 42 today, consultant contracts. Field temporary consultants in construction maintenance. In 91, they were using as many as 273 temporaries, which would be a lot of the summer help and things. In 2006, they used 35. Vacancies, they're sitting on about 130, 140 vacancies right now in jobs. But what this is saying is that they are not expending this on manpower and doing less work. I think we're getting a bigger bang for our buck. I support this amendment. I hope you do. Let's get some work done on the highways. And yes, Highway 59 is part of my district, and I've always fought hard for it. But 191, and I tell you, I-80 hasn't even started to take a bite out of it. So I'd ask you to support this amendment.
Senator Job.
Vice President, I'm sitting here listening that we, and I would agree, we have some desperate needs on those highways. But we hold all other agencies, all of them, accountable for the money that we give them that comes out of the taxpayers' pocket. And I think if they start getting general fund money, they should be no different. And I want to know that because I have people I care about on Highway 191, and in fact, some of them have been killed there, I do want that problem addressed. But I want to know that if we give them this money, that problem is going to be addressed. And so I think there is nothing wrong with waiting until third reading and building in some accountability. Fair is fair. We expect that across the board from all agencies. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Von Clayton.
Mr. Chairman, one other comment I forgot was the $75 million that we gave them last year. There was an illusion that was for new highways and roads, and they did exactly what they said they'd do with it. They put it in the maintenance of highways, they gave us a listing of all the projects, and they moved forward with those. So there was no, it was just some people had thought that $75 million was all new construction, and it wasn't.
Senator Scott. Further discussion. Senator Barrasso.
Vice President, in reference to that last comment, we heard committee hearing testimony in the Joint Transportation Committee throughout the summer and fall that we were running about $250 million a year behind in terms of what we needed to do. And the initial recommendation from our Transportation Committee was to try to come in at that number, whatever the governor came in with, and then an additional bill to take it to $250. So $100 million, Mr. Vice President, this takes me about 40% of what the need is as we work with the people from the Department of Transportation. We talk with folks around the state. We see that the desire and the demand is there. The state highways, safe for Wyoming families, and safe for Wyoming businesses. It's an important part of our economy. And the number that is still left in the budget is woefully inadequate. Someone said to me, well, how do they do it in Utah, our neighboring state? Well, they have eight times the population, their gas tax is 10 cents higher, and you kind of do the math multiplication of those things, and they have actually fewer miles of road to be maintained with that large, much larger population. We are in a unique situation. We're looking for money from the federal government. They fund about 85% to 90% of what we do. The actual amount of money that has come into the Department of Transportation in the last year is actually less. And with that amount of money, you can do actually a lot fewer miles of repair or construction compared to just what you could do 7 or 8 years ago.
7 years ago, spent $200 million. They did work on 450 miles of roads. This past year, spent $250 million and only covered about 200 miles. Inflation has gotten dramatically, truly out of control with the cost of construction. So I'd recommend we do roads for this moment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, I'm assuming I've got the figures here in the queue from Wydell. What I asked them for were the engineers. Chief engineers, assistant chief engineers, engineering and planning. That's who goes in and supervises, that's who draws out, goes in and supervises projects. And we're not talking about snowplow drivers, the people that fix reflector posts, or people that maintain fences or any of those. These are the people that do the projects. And I asked them for the year, they gave me actually much more than I asked. Overwhelming information. But in 2000, total error on the state fund side was 701, on the federal side, 597. On the start of the piece, going through 2006, the number has jumped 706 on the state side, 599 on the federal side. And those are the people that actually get out and do the projects. I tried to get away from, like I said, snowplow drivers, fence fixers, maintenance people, and all those kinds of things. These are their figures. I'll be happy to share them with you. In terms of temporary people, this takes all of over that, the people that send us food, and all of those kinds of people. In terms of where this amendment is leading us to, we all know what happens when an agency gets this kind of money pumped into them. It becomes almost impossible to lower the level of state support once it's there. And without a system in place to show this money is being spent responsibly and in response to the needs of the state, I believe we will never gain any oversight if we let this run forward at this level. I ask you to vote no.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. This is my second shot, and I hope that everybody's talking on this one. Let's talk about some of the concerns that we have here on the floor with this funding level. First of all, I think it's been basically proven that this funding level actually, as the good transportation chairman said, that it's only 40% of what we actually need. 40% of what we actually need before our roads, before we're reconstructing our roads and just not maintaining them. And we should all know that what happens is that you can do an overlay or you can do a chip seal and you can run that out and stretch and get a lot of miles. But if we don't do it, if we don't maintain them, those roads, wherever they're at, in every one of our counties and every one of our neighborhoods, you're going to be tearing these up. And rather than $100,000 or $200,000 a mile, you're going to be looking at $1 million or $2 million a mile by the time we get around to it. We do have accountability. We've had accountability through the Transportation Commission for a good number of years. And I know what roads are out there. They have a plan. It's decades long. In fact, it's getting longer and longer and longer. They're adding years and years and years to this plan because we don't have any money to fix our roads because the price of asphalt is tied directly to the price of energy, and our roads have almost doubled in the cost of what it costs us to maintain them and to build them. That's why we need $250 million to actually do it. This is only $100 million. There is the accountability through the Department of Transportation and through the Transportation Commission. I went to several meetings this summer. Our local engineers set them up. They were open public meetings, went through all the projects in both the counties that I represent. They're available, I'm sure, to every member on this floor. If you want to know what's going on in your highway construction, and I see the good senator from New Orleans affirming that it must have happened in his district also. If you want to know what's going on with highway, all you have to do is show up. So, Mr. President, this is a reasonable number. As far as the employees, the engineers at the department, if we don't vote this up, that differential is only going to get greater because we're only going to have fewer and fewer projects. And at some point in time, if we don't support our roads, then the infrastructure in our department will probably have to go down. We'll have to get rid of the engineers that we have that are doing the job they're doing because they don't have any roads to build. So, Mr. President, I would hope that we would realize that this is that we have the accountability in our Transportation Commission, that this is by no means excessive. As far as the total, it's roughly $50 million out of the $200 million that we have to spend. And it's definitely a Fram oil filter deal. We can do this now or 3, 4, 5 years down the road, rather than a couple of hundred thousand, like I said, Mr. President, you can be spending $1 million or $2 million.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. President, not to belabor the problem, but not to be making a joke, we're going down a road here that I think avoidance of the problem. This is all general fund money. Historically, the Department of Transportation, and there's nobody supports the Department of Transportation more than I do, serving the Highway Commission. But I think a lot of the problem lies right here in this legislature. Funding of roads has traditionally and historically been a user fee based upon fuel taxes. In my mind, it makes absolutely no sense for Wyoming to have some of the lowest fuel taxes in the area, and then we take general fund monies of this proportion to fund highways. The last report I had, about 60% of the fuel taxes are paid for by people that don't live here. A lot of the same people that are creating the use and heavy usage on the road. And yet, we in this body and the other body will not meet the problem. To fund all of this in this amount with general fund money, I think is wrong. We as a body have to come up and meet the problem. Because we're taking general fund money that could be used for almost anything else, for health care, all the other things we talk about as priorities. We're going to put it in the road because of reluctance to bring our fuel taxes up to surrounding states when 60% of it, was the figure I last heard, is paid for by people that don't live here who are creating the problem with the road. So we can go ahead and put all this general fund money in. We can cut all the other priorities. We can reduce the services of things that Wyoming people really need. Or sometime in this process, and I know we can't do it now, we can step up to the plate and say, okay, this is going to go back to being a user fee so we can fund our other priorities. And doggone it, the people using the roads are going to pay for it as it's been forever. I think this is wrong to put in this amount of money at this time, but I'm also saying we do have a need. The need is severe, but let's put the bill where the bill should be. I think we should remember that at the next legislative session.
Question being called for on second reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 1. If the Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson? Almond, Barreto, Burns, Case, Coe, Cooper, DiCaria, Beck, Geis, Hastert, Hines, Jennings, Joe, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Peck excused, Perkins, Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Townsend? Basie? Von Slatern? President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Cooper? No to aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 18 ayes, 11 noes, 1 excuse.
Second reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 1 has passed the Senate. Second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 1. The Cooper, Johnson, Meyer, Basie amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 6. Budgets affected 45, Department of Transportation.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, I move the second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 1. I ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, I almost hate to talk about highways after our last discussion here. The Industrial Road Program, which this amendment is all about, was created back in 1951 by the legislature, and it has since then been amended several times because of the changing needs for the program and also because of inflationary costs eating up the dollars to build new highways. The program provides funds to counties for new construction and rehabilitation of roadways that serve industrial facilities as part of their, and this is part of their economic development efforts. These industrial facilities directly benefit the county and the surrounding communities because they provide sources of employment, additional tax revenue, and also economic stabilization to the area. Currently, the program has a $4 million per biennium placed into the funding process, and any of the counties that use this, these funds are required to come up with a 50% match for the monies that they're granted. This amendment would increase the amount of money then by $2 million for the 07-08 fiscal year. We have learned from YDOT, as we were just discussing, the cost of building highways has in many cases doubled and tripled from what it was just a few years ago. And this also, we have to keep in mind, holds true for the county also. So the $4 million that's in the fund currently just really doesn't buy a whole lot of roads for that. The industrial growth in our counties has brought about an escalation in demand for the development of new industrial roads and also major rehab on existing ones, and our counties have been hard-pressed to keep up with it all. I passed out a program status report that looks like this, and you will see on there that there's plenty of need for the money, plenty of demand from the counties, and actually there's a shortfall in the amount of funding that is currently needed in the program. The industrial, I'd like to also point out that we were mentioning that we've been told by YDOT in some of our meetings, I know that there's a backlog of like somewhere around $500 million for the biennium for repair and maintenance of state highways, and also you have to keep in mind that the counties are currently struggling with that same problem. The industrial roads that I'm talking about here are the very roads that we depend on for safety to carry our workers back and forth to their jobs and homes every day in their pursuit of making a living. These roads are heavily used not only by the workers, but in many instances by heavy trucks hauling equipment and products, and the wear and tear on them is much greater than your average backcountry county country road. Industrial roads are a vital link to the economic well-being of our state, and the amount of money we spend on these roads is returned to the state probably 100-fold by the tax revenue generated from the facilities that they serve. This program provides an indirect benefit to all the counties and communities in our state through the tax revenue generated from it. I would appreciate your favorable consideration for this amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, in all this discussion about roads, we all know, as we learned from school construction, that there's a huge unmet need out there. But what I want to know is, we go down this road every year in appropriating certain amounts of money, and anywhere in the discussion did anyone talk about how much actually in our construction period can, and what contractors we have, and how much we actually can do within a construction period? And the other question is, how much was used? Was it all used last year that we voted upon and funded? Those are the two questions that we. I know this is not an increase, but I think this needs to be discussed: the ability to use the money in these periods of time in appropriating. And I'd like some discussion on that.
Further discussion. Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm against this amendment. This is a sort of a resurrection of a Senate file that died in the process. So it's an attempt to put in more money, again, general fund money now, into a program that really only goes to a couple of counties. And so it is almost an earmarking of dollars to areas where there are new industrial sites being delivered or constructed. And I submit to you that if you're going to put money out, then put it out and impact the systems, let the counties decide where the dollars ought to go. Put it in the cities, towns, and counties. But to essentially increase the dollars for industrial road program by giving general fund money to YDOT to turn around the grants for roads is not the way to help the impact. Now, we've put out impact dollars. Finally, Mr. President, these are dollars to assist the construction of roads for industry. That industry can pay for themselves, and they do. And it lightens the load on them, and it's essentially a grant to people that are using the roads so they don't have to pay for the roads. So it's a program that does not distribute evenly among the state. It's more dollars being through a grant system that is administered through YDOT. If you want to give more money to counties for aid, and they want to give that money to industry to help them maintain the roads, give it to the counties, and that's where they want to spend it, have at it.
Further discussion, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I don't know how often this occurs, but I happen to live on a rural road that goes by a well-known power plant. Off the highway to the power plant is about a mile. This power plant is about 50 years old. That road that goes to the power plant is a two lane, very narrow, very broken up by some of the heavy loads, and most of those went through the power plant in that. Narrow shoulders and a sharp turn coming off the approach of some of the larger trucks could make. So the point is that it was very much in disrepair, very much in need of reconstruction. So what was done with these industrial road funds was there was a third county, a third state, and a third on the part of the industry, that fire plant, that put up a mass, each putting up a third of a million, and they reconstructed and resurfaced that road into the fire plant. I offer that only as an example of where many times, industry does participate, the county does participate, in many instances, the state participates, and these monies are, at least in that instance, were leveraged, I think, to good advantage. Thank you.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, just a little further explanation about the particular bill. That bill actually diverted federal mineral royalty percentages and made that a permanent diversion. I voted against that, Mr. President, because I was reluctant to lock in a new distribution formula of federal mineral royalty. However, Mr. President, I did say to the sponsor that I would support an amendment on the floor primarily for the reason that Mr. Vice President said that we do have these areas of industrial impact,
out in the different counties. I'm not exactly familiar with how they're graded and how they're scored. I know that they've got a waiting list. I know that my particular county is way down on the waiting list. This probably won't affect me personally in my district for several years. However, I think that it's important that the counties that do have that impact, that they have that ability to address that impact. This is very targeted. It goes directly to the roads that are in the worst shape, and specifically for those areas where you have impacts. And I would ask that we consider that. I think this is one area where we know that there is a specific problem, and this goes directly to it.
Mr. President,
my recollection is that last year we passed a bill through here, an amendment that had $109 million in it, to go in and address some of the concerns that the, I think it was 109, I could be wrong, the nine impacted counties. And I defer to the good chairman of appropriations for the exact numbers. But here we go again. We're going to take this money, we're going to put it into this program. We're going to sit back and say they're going to spend it wisely and fairly. Well, not only do I think we funded very well last year, the reference I just made for the nine impacted counties, but there's also one other thing to consider. The counties that are impacted, generally, and I can tell you significantly, have seen huge increases in assessed valuation at the local level. The assessed valuation in the state has gone from $7 billion about 1995, over $22 billion. So I would say that the defeat this amendment, let's have some accountability. I'm not sure what the exact numbers were last year, but they were real. And they were meant to be funds that would be in place for the biennium to help these impacted counties.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
For my second time, Mr. President, the impact of counties dealt primarily with impacts associated with natural gas production. This particular appropriation would go across the board. So you can have a county that would have a power plant or a county that would have another factory or something that had nothing to do with natural gas production. And so, Mr. President, basically this says an impact is an impact, whether or not it's because you have a new distribution center coming up in this county or some other county has another problem that's totally disassociated with natural gas. So from that perspective, Mr. President, the impact funds that we had in last year's bill doesn't have anything to do specifically with a lot of the areas that this would affect.
Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. And in response to the Senator from Cody, our impact dollars were $105 million. The list for the non-impact was $66 million for a total of $171 million. The total distributions to locals was $328 million if you add up the variety of different mechanisms that we distribute dollars. With respect to this, ladies and gentlemen, again, If we're going to go in and pay for companies to maintain their roads, they're not going to maintain it. In the county where we're from, the industrial, our budget suggests that the county does not maintain it. The industrial facilities maintain their own roads. In one case, they paved the road and maintained the pavement on it for 11 miles. And built into your crop is cement and everything else that you buy. But these industries, the part of what they do is maintain roads. And if you want to go in and say, look, we'll maintain it for it, and they'll say, great, do it. I urge you that this is not at the highest level of priority. It's a need that can be addressed, and it is addressed in other places in our budget.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know how to address all of these questions, but I'll try to do the best I can. One of the first questions was about the number of contractors and the work that we have out there to do this work. I don't know how to answer that one. Probably have to get some statistics on that as far as the number of contractors that might be available to do this work, the way I understood it. The history of use for this program is pretty well laid out. At least there's a couple of years of it. If I went reading back for many, many years, you would find out that probably a great many of the counties in this state have taken advantage of this program. This program is not just for the very large projects going out to the huge power plants and those things. Some of these are just small facilities that are out there, small mining operations, small factory units or manufacturing operations. They're not all for the big counties. A lot of the counties that use it are not even in the impacted counties of the state at all. But also, one of the things that they've done with this program, they've been able to leverage this money. You know how we give the money to the university and we say, okay, here's $50 million. If you can, for every dollar you can get from the private sector, then we'll give you a dollar of this state money. Now, in this program, many times, the way this works, like was explained before, we had a road that was built out to the Exxon, one of the facilities in our area. They agreed not only to pay half of the cost of building a road, but they also agreed to maintain it for 10 years after it was built. And they turned it over. When they finally turned it over to the county, it was in great shape. They chip sealed it, they striped it, they put new signs up, and they did everything when they turned it over to the county. So it was a real good deal for the county and for the residents of this state. And so there is a huge also return on investment for these roads. I mean, these roads are the very roads that link our economic well-being up with the dollars that we collect in this state. You know, these are huge tax dollars that we collect from these industries. It's a very small amount of money that we're looking to invest in these. I mean, a couple million dollars for the return on investment is hundreds of millions of dollars that we get from these facilities. I mean, this is a very, very small amount of money. Like I said, many of these are not even in these impacted counties, but several of them are. These roads are very heavily used roads. These are roads that need to be saved. I just mentioned from the Good Center from Douglas. I mean, from, yeah, that's too, Congress County. some of these roads, they will ravel up very quickly because of the amount of traffic on them. And our workers travel these roads on a daily basis out there, and they need to be repaired. And sometimes the counties just simply don't have those types of funds to do that. And it's a good program. I urge your support of this amendment.
Question is on second reading amendment number 6, Senate File 1. Could the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Allman? Barrasso? Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper? DeCaria? Beck? Geis? Hastert? Hines? Jennings? Joe? Johnson? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Moffler? Nicholas? Peck excused? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Flatern, President Schiffer,
no.
Closing vote, Barrasso, I to know. Closing, vote closed. 11 ayes, 18 noes, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 6, Senate File 1. We are on second reading amendment 8, Senate File 1, the Scott Allman Hastert Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment in?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 8, budget affected 48, Department of Health.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, during the course of the past year over the summer, we had a very exciting development in the continuing effort to improve healthcare and health. And that was, for the first time in recorded history, we now have a vaccine against cancer. It's the vaccine against the HPV virus. and administration of that vaccine prevents cervical cancer. It's an exciting development, Mr. President. And that's what brings this amendment. The vaccine has to be administered relatively young, and let me read the recommendation. When I came down here, I knew that this had happened. I asked the health department for information of what would it take to get this on the program we have that provides vaccine to juveniles without a charge. And they furnished me this information. Let me just read one sentence. The National Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, in conjunction with the Food and Drug Administration approval, recommends 3 doses of the HPV vaccine for females between the ages of 9 and 26 years. Now, our program only covers the ones that are under the age of the majority, so we can't go into the higher ages, and that's probably important, Mr. President, because even though their recommendation goes up to age 26, the vaccine ceases to become effective as you get onto the older ages. Mr. President, let me be clear about this. It prevents cervical cancer. It doesn't cover all the strains. It covers 4 strains, which the vaccine's on the market right now, which are responsible for approximately 70% of the cases of cervical cancer. So we still have some progress to make. But that's pretty good. And this is a major cancer killer. Now, the calculation is that we expect, we know how many of the girls will be in the age cohort. We expect this to be 45% of the population, 55% will be eligible for the federal vaccine. We expect to pay the federal contract price of $96 a dose, so, and it's 3 doses. So it's a big ticket item, and the private price would be even higher. So we're going to save our people significant money with this. And the estimate is that 85% of the eligibles will take the vaccine. So I think it's a very cost-effective vaccination and cost-effective program. And Mr. President, let me speak to the gentleman this time. This is a vaccine that affects the ladies, the cancer that affects the ladies. It won't help us. I think it won't help our wives, unless somebody's wife is a lot younger than I think. But this will help our children, and our grandchildren, and our future daughters-in-law, granddaughters. This has the potential for preventing some just horrendous tragedy. So I urge us, this is a priority. It's 90% one-time funds. The amendment's drawn that way. Because you have to catch up because nobody's had it. And then you have an ongoing cost of $400,000 a year until the price eventually comes down, but that'll be a while. So I would urge us to adopt this vaccine. It's an exciting development in the fight against cancer.
Further discussion. Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm on and against the amendment for a couple different reasons. So I too read the articles. I'm certain that I'm not as well read as the sponsors of the bill on this vaccine, there is a lot to be learned by every vaccine, and a new one for the government to go out and start having a vaccine program always causes me some concern. And on these new type things that go out, my daughter's of this age, I don't know that I would recommend it to her. But regardless, we have put money in the Department of Health in the budget. In the JAC recommendation, a substantial amount. we put a substantial amount into the bills that are in here. And now the proposition is that we add additional dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, with respect to the Department of Health, you can make a compelling argument that we ought to increase dollars and save lives in almost any cohort you look at. We could do all cancer screenings. We could cover all transplants. We could simply take over the health needs of the entire state. And we would save lives tomorrow. And you will hear these arguments over and over. But at some point, you have to take a step back and say, what is it that we're here to do? Why are we here to do it? And where do we put our resources? And I submit to you that we're putting our resources into the budget as it's presented, a huge budget, over with federal dollars over $1 billion. We have a cancer bill that's going through. We put our priorities there. And we also have bills that are there. And this is late in the game to put dollars into the budget to take care of a brand new program. If it turns out that this vaccine is as great as everybody thinks it is, and the $96 a dose is not simply a corporate subsidy, let's take a look at it next year.
Further discussion? On your own.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand for this amendment. I guess I'm talking for on the women's side of this, and cervical cancer is a very devastating thing for women. And I think next to breast cancer, it's not as many people who suffer from breast cancer, cervical cancer. But the ones that I have read about, that I believe that it is one of the more deadly one cancers that we do have, and that the idea that now we can actually save these young women and to get this vaccine out to them, it's something to really think about. I mean, it like you say, we can save lives, I'm sure, with this, and it is a new program. But it's exciting also that they are actually coming out with something that says that we can stop cancer and certain things. And we know that through all of the things that go on with our breast cancer treatments, that we've had a struggle just to get some type of cure to that. And it is starting to come, but here they've got a cure on certain strains. So I would hope that we would support this amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, this might be a great program. I think it is. I think the chairman of the Appropriations Committee did raise a very good question as to how much is this of the prices overhead and how much is really necessary and can be negotiated otherwise. The question I have in response to the amendment is, if they heard testimony on this during the summer, why is this brought as a second reading amendment on the budget bill? Why wasn't it brought as a separate bill where it could go through three readings on through the committee process and then three readings in both the House and Senate, where we could get much more information about it?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the question I would have, and I don't have 35-4-139 in front of me, but I'm wondering if that has some outs in it that says basically that you don't have to take this for certain reasons, the religious reasons or other reasons. In the current statutes where this is dovetailed into, I'm just curious as to whether it is or isn't.
Further discussion, Senator Nichols.
Mr. President, one last thought. If it turns out that this is a program that ought to be, that every young woman ought to participate in, as opposed to those that have predisposition that are in certain race groups, in any event, a one-time spend of a cure of $100 is not that much. All of us will spend $100 doing a variety of things, going on a ski trip, going out for a dinner. There's no suggestion that this is not a cost that folks could not pay.
And so for those another reason to be thinking about voting no.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Scott, your second time.
Right. Let me deal with some of the issues that have been raised. We didn't have any testimony in the interim, Mr. President. The vaccine was approved in June. We were not authorized by the Management Council anywhere cities to get into this. Frankly, I picked it up by reading the scientific literature, the popular literature. Why is it brought now as the second reading amendment? Because the basic statutes authorizing the vaccine program are in place. You don't need another bill. You need a change in the budget. This is our first opportunity, second reading of the budget, to do that. So I'm bringing it to you at the first opportunity our process allows. With regard to the cost, Mr. Chairman, it's not $100. The federal price is $96 a dose, and there are three doses. The private price, I think it's 400 total, but I could be quite wrong about that. It's typically significantly higher than the price that we can get it for. And, Mr. Chairman, there is, I'm sure, in this significant R&D cost. These things are expensive to develop, and you can expect the price, while it's new, to be high and to stay high for a number of years till the patent runs out. That's the way it is. If you want, you've got to pay the price. And it's fair. You know, they've developed something that is a great benefit to all of us in preventing tragedies. With regard, Mr. President, to the question, is it voluntary, which is a legitimate question. Yes, it is. Our whole vaccine program is voluntary to public health matter. Now, you can, certain vaccines can be required for public school attendance. This is not, proposal is not there, and I would not go there with this vaccine. It's different from the ones that prevent immediate contagion. It's voluntary, and we expect that only 85% of people who might take it will. So that's a legitimate question, and that's the answer. Strictly voluntary, Mr. President. So, Mr. President, this, we want to do something in the healthcare area. Frankly, the most cost-effective thing we can do is this kind of preventive health measure. And look at it compared to the other priorities we're setting. And think what your priorities are. I urge the Senate to vote aye.
Question is on second reading amendment number 8, Senate File 1. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Allman? Barreto? Burns? Case? Poe? Cooper? DiCaria? Beck? Rice? Hastert? Hines, Jennings, Joe, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Moffler, Nicholas, Peck excused, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Slatern, President Schiffer.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 21 noes, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 8, Senate File 1, failed to pass the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 36, the Case Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 36, Budget Affecting 48, Department of Health.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move Second Reading Amendment Number 36 to the budget bill. Mr. Chairman, this deals with dental services. It is provides an additional $500,000 for services for adults that require, these are people on Medicaid, and it is specifically targeted towards people that require hospitalization for their dental services. Well, what this is really getting at is persons with severe developmental disabilities. They're by far and large the only people that require hospitalization for their dental work, general anesthetic. Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of things going on here. I wanted an amendment that just said persons with developmental disabilities were going to pay for their dental work, because I'll tell you, they have a lot of dental problems. Partly the dental problems they have because if you're severe profoundly with developmental disabilities, you're probably not caring for your own teeth, and other people may not be doing a very good job of caring for you. There are behavioral issues. There, you know, it's pretty hard to daily floss in that situation, I assure you. Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, there's also the issue of the medications that you take. Many people are on seizure medication for epilepsy or near epilepsy seizures, and a lot of the medications affect your mouth health and your dental health. So they have profound dental problems. They're very difficult to work on. They don't get regular dental care, but they're under the care of the state of Wyoming. And if we don't take care of their teeth, you know, it's really cruel. That's all it is. Mr. Chairman, there's also an equity issue. If you are a resident of the Wyoming State Training School, you have full dental coverage. There's a dentist, a marvelous dentist that comes in, and they're able to do screening procedures right there at the training school. Other people don't get that extensive of dental work, and this would help to close the gap for persons with developmental disabilities. Yes, there may be a few other people that are profoundly handicapped or that would require dental anesthetics for their dental work. I don't think that happens very much, but they could be covered as well. $500,000. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion. Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. Non against amendment. My recollection of the respect of this area is that the sponsor of the amendment addressed this and wanted a substantial appropriation in the budget as we have it here today. We keep expanding a little bit, but the budget as it's planned already has an amount, as I recall, that was appropriated for these dental services.
Question is, Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, it is true that last year we went down in the area of non-mandatory dental services for the first time. Prior to last year, the only thing we basically paid for was for extractions under Medicaid. And so for years and years, we've only paid full people's teeth out. That's what we call dentistry. And we put some money in. I don't remember exactly the amount. I know that these people aren't being reached. They're not getting the care. And there is a $400 cap on emergency services, and we're going to talk about that in another amendment. But I assure you, you can't even get a root canal for $400, let alone any kind of major dentistry. So, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, I would hope you would support it and appreciate it.
Question is on second reading amendment number 36 to Senate File 1. Could the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond? Barrasso?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Poe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DiCaria?
Aye.
Beck?
No.
Geist?
No.
Hester?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Joe?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas? Peck excused. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Von Platern?
No.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Votes closed. 9 ayes, 20 noes, 1 excuse.
Second reading amendment number 36 has failed to pass the Senate. We are on second reading amendment number 37, the case amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate file number 1, second reading amendment number 37, budget affected 48, Department of Health.
Senator Gates.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would urge second reading amendment number 37 to the budget bill. Mr. President, this amendment does two things, and it deals with the area of emergency dental services. These are, if somebody has a problem and it's an emergency, they either need a tooth pulled, root canal, some other kind of restorative action. Currently, this adds $500,000 to the area of emergency dental services, and this would include all persons. It would also help some people with developmental disabilities that require emergency services, but by and large, these are poor people, poor mothers, and his children are covered and have more coverage for dental services. It's adults that aren't covered very well. This would add $500,000 so they can be covered. Now, there's lots of reasons why we should cover, for example, the mothers of children. And one is the fact that you may not know this, but dental disease is actually contagious. If we can spend lots of money under Medicare to fix children's teeth over and over again, but if the bacteria continues to be passed from the mother to the child, it does no good, and we just end up in a circle. This would kind of take a more holistic approach and fix families. I assure you that if you're trying to employ poor people, I have business where people work in the public. I have customers that don't like to be waited on by people with bad teeth. This would provide for an expansion of the services available, although largely in the emergency area. Basically, if you have more money in an emergency situation, you can save teeth and not have to pull them. And if you like being waited on for breakfast in the morning by someone with one tooth in their mouth, or, you know, it is a social issue that affects their self-esteem and their ability to move forward in society. The other thing this amendment calls for is to remove a $400 cap that's in the bill. And I would ask that this amendment be divided to get at the cap separately from the $500,000. And, Mr. President, the cap is on lines 23 through 30. I would hope we could take that up separately. The cap, and I don't intend to talk on either section going one more time, Mr. President, just to be fair. But the cap is a $400 cap on any emergency visit. And this would remove the cap so that some people that don't have emergency visits, that would free up money that would be available for people that need more than $400,000. So the first division, Mr. President, would be lines 1 through 22 and line 32 and 33. The second division would be lines 23 through 30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, we are, that is divisible. We are in division 1, which is lines 1 through 22 and lines 32 and 33 of second reading amendment number 37. Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. On division 1, the same as before, if you look at the budget at page 22, you'll see that we appropriated $4 million for this program, $1.9 million worth of general funds, and $2.1 million of federal dollars to complement those funds. It's a new expenditure. It is in the budget. That should we should watch that program, see where it takes us, see where the issues are. That addressing is simply division number 1.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Case.
Mr. President, I will consider this my second time. Mr. President, that's been a good, successful program. A lot of people have had some great dental work done. There's tremendous need. There's more dentists that have offered to take patients under the program. There's a lack of money. $500,000 is a modest increase. It was a brand new pilot program last year. It's a success. $500,000.
Senator Case, the way I read this appropriation is $1,014,610. Did I misread?
Mr. President, just remember, folks, that's $1 million for a biennium. So it's a program that we would have put $5 million in. It's one half of the year, or one half of a biennium.
The question is on second reading amendment number 37, division 1, which is lines 1 through 22 and 32 and 33. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond? Barrasso? Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria? Beck?
Aye.
Geist?
Aye.
Hastert? Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Joe?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Moffler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Peck excused? Perkins? Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Von Slatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 7 ayes, 22 noes, 1 excuse.
Second reading amendment number 37, the Senate Power 1 has failed to pass the Senate. Second reading amendment number 38.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that the other division. Okay. We're back on division 2. Second reading amendment number 37, it's line 23 through 31. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this amendment goes into the budget bill on page 22. If you'll note on that page, lines 13 through 21, there's a paragraph that describes this program. And in addition, Mr. President, you will note that on lines 16 and 17, and again on lines 20 and 21, there's reference to a cap. It says, in addition to expenses which may be allowed for extraction, reimbursement shall be limited to $400 per participant per year. That's what program we put in last year. We said, we'll pull teeth, but we'll do $400 worth of restorative care per person. We're asking that cap be removed and that they work within a total amount of money. And yes, indeed, if you look at lines 19 through 21, it says, in cases determined to be medically necessary, the state dentist may authorize the department to reimburse the participant in excess of $400 per year limitation. That has been very closely restricted, Mr. President, and the feeling is that the program could work much better if there was not a $400 cap restriction, and thus people that didn't need $400 worth of work might need $100, might need no work. That money could be freed up for people that need more work. So this acts for removal of the $400 limitation. It's going to allow for some people to get a lot of dental work, and when the money runs out, they'll have to ration it, just like they do with the other programs. So I think this might be a good step forward. It doesn't require any more appropriation, but it will allow a lot more work. Thank you, Mr. President.
What are your thoughts?
Well, Mr. President, this is the Medicaid program. And Medicaid is very complicated. So I'm going to ask a question rather than make a statement. In a lot of Medicaid, if you don't have a cap like this, you've got an entitlement. And whether the money is there or not, it gets spent. And we have to come, that's why we have a contingency reserve with the state auditor. Now, it is possible, Mr. President, that there's something special about this particular corner of Medicaid. And frankly, members of the Senate, Medicaid is so horrendously complicated that I'm not sure. But what my question is if we pass this, will it have exactly the same effect as the amendment we just defeated? Because you're in an entitlement program, And without the cap, they'll be entitled, they'll spend, and they'll have to spend regardless of how much we think we've appropriated for this particular piece of Medicaid. And, or is there something real special about this particular form?
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I listened quite closely to the explanation, and I would have supported the amendment if the sponsor could have said there's enough money appropriated to satisfy these needs without the cap. But that's not what the sponsor says. The sponsor says we will provide all the care that people want to have until we run out of it, then the other people will get no care. And I submit to you that the built-in cap was designed to make sure that the amount of money that are available would be available for the entire biennium for those that are the neediest. And the care is, if you will, rationed by having a cap. So unless the answer is we are certain that we can take the cap off and meet with and deal with all of our needs in the biennium, I would urge you to vote no. Leave the cap down and make sure that everybody can get access to the care, albeit there is a cap.
Further discussion, Senator Gates.
Mr. President, I'm not going to assert to you or this body that all the needs will be met. These are emergency services. People have emergencies, and they deserve under Medicaid treatment for teeth, other than the ability to do extractions, which we will pay for infinite number of extractions, apparently. Mr. President, all I can assure both the good senator from Natrona County and the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, I have in my hand a letter from the chief financial officer of the Wyoming Department of Health. And he and the state dentist have been working on this at my request, and their suggestion. The state dentist, I'm not going to use names, the state dentist suggests that we eliminate the $400 cap on emergency services provided under the current plan. He suggests we move to a funding amount without a cap and manage the expenditure by limiting treatment codes to the most essential. You understand what they're going to do? They're going to look at specific treatment codes. And I don't know what the treatment codes are for dentistry. It might be fillings, it might be root canals, it might be pulling. I'm not sure about the pulling because that's covered no matter what. But they're going to manage it by the procedure and the treatment code to keep the budget limitation. And yes, he's asking for, they would like $1 million, but I didn't have the guts to come in and ask for that one. So now we're just back to removing the cap and letting it manage by treatment code to get the worst emergencies taken care of in the highest priority. Albeit, yes, some people will get more than $400 worth of treatment. Other people, of course, will get less. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question is, on Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 37 to Senate File 1, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
That Division 2 is also carried. Division being called for. All those in favor of Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 37, please rise. All opposed, please rise. Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 37 has failed. Second Reading Amendment Number 38, Senate File 1, the case amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File Number 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 38, Budget Affected 48, Department of Health.
Senator Case.
Nice to see you again, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 38 to the budget bill. Mr. President, this has nothing to do with adult services. This goes into the area of mandatory dental services for children. Mandatory services that we already provide. What it does is it adds $443,250 to access $456,750 of federal funds and give a 10% increase in the reimbursement rate for providers that are providing services to children. The last time that we increased and set the rate for children's dental under this program was in 2003. My understanding is that the rate of inflation in this area has been every bit of 6% per year for the past 4 years, which roughly be 24%, roughly, okay? And this is asking for a 10% increase in reimbursement to providers who accept patients under our program, and a 10% increase that hasn't been done since the year 2003.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not against the amendment. Again, this is a one-year increase at $443,000. If I annualize it, you're at $800,000. Now, my recollection is when you go back to 2003 is that a senator that I actually replaced put in higher reimbursement for all the dental services throughout, so that we'd have to go back and see what rate in 2003 is, but where a lot of medical care may be reimbursed at 80%. There was a move some time ago to move them up to closer to 100%. So before you make these decisions, you need to know what is the rate that was adjusted in 2003. And folks, if you're going to start going around and adjusting the reimbursement rate, then let's go back and take a look at all of our Medicaid reimbursement. And I'll tell you, you're going to find some other physician cares that are well below where they want to be, and you might not find that this is your priority. And members can come in and say, look, I want this particular sector, this particular group of folks, but what about obstetricians? When was the last time that we adjusted their rates? What about other physicians? This is not the way to do a piecemeal. Bring it through the budget, then we can look at it and analyze it as a group.
Further discussion from the staff.
Mr. President, this brings a very tricky issue to the Senate and the pros and cons on both sides. And there is a problem with reimbursement for Medicaid providers generally. We are not, in our Medicaid program, reimbursing providers right across the board in the medical area as much as it costs to provide the service. And that is causing a cost shift. It raises the cost of private insurance. We're putting a hidden tax on everybody's health care. Make no mistake about it. And fixing that is a multi-million-dollar proposition. This is much smaller and a bit of a different issue. Now, my understanding is that the reimbursement here, I'd like the sponsor to respond if he knows, is relatively comparable to what the reimbursements are for medical doctors. But whereas with the medical doctors, we've been able to get the services. With the dentist, we're having a good deal of trouble. And there's a reason for that, Mr. President. The dental profession, about 15 years ago, made a concerted effort to reduce the size of the student body in dental schools. Closed, got a number of schools closed, reduced student bodies in other, and cut the output of dental schools by about 25%. And I think my personal opinion that it was a concerted effort to create a monopoly and raise their earnings. And they're very successful from their point of view. But it's created a struggle. And the symptom we see of the shortage in this state that's the worst is that we have trouble getting dental services in the Medicaid program. Now, Mr. President, there's a shortage of dentists. This amendment may or may not help us get the Medicaid services with swimming competition with everybody that pays privately, and it may just encourage the providers to take more days off during the week. I don't know, because it's Medicaid. Probably not big enough to have that effect. They've already got that effect. But if you want to get the services adequately in the dental program, you're probably going to have to pass this amendment and probably some more just like it before you get to the point, Mr. President, where you get adequate services. It's a real problem. We're going to have to deal with it by some other means. And this amendment brings a real dilemma. Are we going to pay the extra because we need the services, or are we going to not pay the extra because we're yielding to the monopolies and we're putting them out of line with everybody else in Medicaid, and we haven't solved the basic problems in Medicaid in terms of our reimbursement? Mr. President, it's not a simple issue.
Further discussion. Senator Joe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do rise in support of this amendment. This is not as complicated to me because I have listened to school nurses and I have listened to a lot of people in my community frustrated beyond belief because young children who have terrible dental problems and therefore chronic health problems cannot get in to see a dentist. And when we raised those reimbursement rates before, and our state dentist went to work on the dental professionals in this state and helped educate them on how to deal with pediatric dentistry a little better, that has improved, and those children have gotten the services they need. And so at the end of the line, we can deal with our money issues here, but at the end of the line, we have a lot of kids out there who need this kind of care. And the former senator who was here went to bat for this huge in the past to make sure that these kids did get that care. And so I would ask the body to support this amendment. Yes, it is an extra expenditure, but we are supposed to take care of those kids out there who are poor and cannot get these services on their own. Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, part of what happens on having budget amendments is that you have to go back and you have to cut a number of things. And as I'm going through my recollection is that the last time we addressed this, we moved reimbursement for dental care to 100% of the cost. The only other group that I can remember right now that's 100% was obstetrics. I know there's also adjustments that are made. There are inflationary costs, and it may be that the inflationary costs have not been kept up with what they're charging. But we also had a lot of discussion of whether or not. The truth is that if there's not enough dentists, they're going to take the insured population because it's an easier population to deal with, people that are private paid. It's just part of the fact. But in the end, these are things that we can further investigate, make more deliberative decisions with more information if they come through the budget process. And if the notion is that this is the most important health care need out there, I'd be surprised. And if you're going to start reimbursing at higher levels, there are a lot of other physicians, groups, and the same arguments apply across the board.
Further questions from your case?
Mr. President, I don't have all the answers about whether this is a monopoly group and restricting entry. And I know we don't have enough dentists in Wyoming. We're trying to recruit more, and I know that we've tried to have a program about educating more dentists to come to Wyoming. I also know that not all dentists take Medicaid patients. Fortunately, because of the work we did several years ago, there was a bump and increase in the number of dentists that would take Medicaid patients. And they're not always the easiest patients to take. Sometimes kids' teeth are so bad and care hasn't been very good. That's not the fault of little kids. That's the fault of some education. I know it's a tough deal when a kid comes into the dental office and they have to give away a lot of care. And sometimes people don't make appointments. Sometimes they don't have transportation. Sometimes they haven't realized in their life how important dental care is. All that being said, we did a great thing in 2003 by improving the reimbursement rate and began to get after this problem. Yes, we started to educate dentists about pediatric dentistry because they used to be, if you were a kid, you went to a special dentist. That became the trend. We don't have special dentists in Wyoming. We just got dentists, pretty much.
Now, the reimbursement rate in 2003 was generous. I don't think it was 100%, but it was great. And they thanked us for it. Do you remember how they thanked us for it? You've been around here? That was a hugely lobbied issue, and they were grateful. 6% inflation per year, 4 years down the road, that's 24% without the compounding on itself. It's got to be like 25, 26%. This is 10% increase. Mr. President, it's time, it's due, and it's justified. Now, maybe it's not as important as other things in the Department of Health, but people have to have their teeth for their whole lives. And it affects how much unemployment we're going to pay, their health conditions down the road, the health of their children if you don't break this cycle. And so there's just a bigger long-term issue here about the whole life of that person.
The question is, on second reading amendment number 38, Senate File 1, would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? No. Almond? No. Barrasso? No. Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DiCaria?
Aye.
Beck?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Moffler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Heck excused. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 18 noes, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 38 is carried to pass the Senate. Second reading amendment number 50 to Senate File 1, the DiCaria amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 50, budget affected 48, Department of Health.
Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 50 to Senate File 1 and ask to be dispensed with further reading of the amendment. Mr. President, what this does is this goes back into, we had a piece of legislation that did pass out of this body, the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations Bill, and this was a section that was in there. So, I mean, this was something that the Senate has already taken a position on and voted on. As in the process, Mr. President, that goes on, what happens is it went to the other side and a decision was made as far as to prioritize that, and this wasn't a committee decision. I mean, this was a select mental health and substance abuse bill, but the decision was made to prioritize what should come out and what should stay in, and that decision was made, and this is one of the things that, you know, was taken out. What this does, Mr. President, is this is a program to treat acute care for adult patients. And Mr. President, what that means is this will be people, as people age and as we become an aging population, we have people that have, you know, bipolar conditions or schizophrenia. There are lots and lots of different conditions, and just because they age doesn't mean those things go away. And these people really aren't able to go into a normal rest home and be taken care of in that rest home. They need a different level of care and a different kind of care. And Mr. President, as our population ages, we're going to see more and more of these people. What this would do would be to be proactive, not reactive, but proactive, to say that we're going to set up a program and we're going to start trying to address that problem now and not wait until it becomes a serious problem. What this would do would set up a 14-bed unit at the state hospital with the necessary amount of people to staff it, and we would start taking care of these individuals that are aging and also have mental health problems. I'm not going to delay and talk about this for a long time, Mr. President, but I just wanted to bring this before the body because this is something that's already profiled in the Goldenrod, and I'm sure we'll hear a discussion here in a moment about, you know, why we shouldn't do this, but this is already something that is profiled, and so if you're looking at the Goldenrod, this piece of legislation is already in there with this appropriation. That is also already in there. And so we're not talking about taking money out of the Goldenrod or any of those things. This is money that the decision was made already once here that we would support this program. And so all I'm asking you for is to support it once again. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask you to reject this but support the process. One of the largest bills that we put through this is Senate File 76. I assume the 76 is the notion. It has not hit the committee of the whole. But folks, the process is the bills get evaluated. They get scrutinized. Sometimes they lose funding. And that's the way it is. And in this case, if whatever the outcome is, we can choose not to concur. That's a bill that has leadership support on both sides. It's not at risk. It will pass. And this is not the way to look at this program to say, well, this is a piece that I like. Support the process. There's a bill going through. Whatever the outcome is, that will be the best judgment of two houses. I urge you that you vote no.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to support the good judgment of this body because we made this decision once. And Mr. President, we hear that often, you know, as far as support the process. I mean, I think that we see lots of different pieces of legislation that come through in different ways. And I think, Mr. President, we've already even seen that today as far as things that have been, you know, brought back as far as, you know, that didn't make it through. And, Mr. President, by no means do I think all those were successful. I realize a lot of them weren't. Mr. President, I think this is a very important program and one that if we're going to start really trying to invest in people, we need to think ahead of the curve and try to do it instead of waiting until after it becomes a problem. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question is on second reading amendment number 50 to Senate File 1. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson, Almond, Brasso, Burns, Pace, Coe, Cooper, DiCaria, Beck, Geist, Hastert, Hines, Jennings, Joe, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas?
No.
Peck excused. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Von Slater?
No.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 18 noes, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 50 has carried. Second reading amendment number 9, the Vasey Matthew Sessions Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 9, budget affected, number 48, Department of Health.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, I move. Amendment number 9 to Senate File, second reading amendment number 9 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, what this is asking for is $60,000 from the general fund and to be appropriated for to expend it only for the foster grandparents program. Foster grandparents program is a small program that's in place right now. It places foster grandparents after they've been thoroughly screened, I believe they're means tested. It provides a small stipend and equips those people that are interested in that, either in preschools or schools, and They can't go there unless they're requested by the schools and clearly screened. As I say, it's not new. I got a big fancy packet this summer. I lost it a long time ago that said how many there were. But, you know, in this day and age when families, where we have a high divorce rate and families are spread out, probably spend a lot of money on mental health and counseling and child psychologists. That used to be the grandparents' job, and they did a pretty good job of it in most cases. But things have changed, and what these people do is they go, if they can't discipline, they can't, they maybe can dry a tear, read a story, lend a kind ear, wipe a nose, and just serve as surrogate grandparents. And it seems to work, and I would hope you could support this.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, just a question in response to the amendment. First of all, I didn't know we had a foster grandparent program. I'm kind of surprised about that. But, and then the second thing, where in the Department of Health, which is the largest agency budget, I think, of any of the agencies we deal with, why can't they find $60,000 somewhere in there and flex it around so they can deal with this?
Further discussion? Question is, on second reading amendment number 9, the Senate file 1. Oh, speak up, lad.
We have had this. This is a small program. It's actually contracted out of the cathedral home. There's one person that runs this. It's in the division of agency. This person is probably more interested in placing grandparents than they are in the politics of this. There's some federal dollars in there, but those are shrinking, so this is it. And I'm sure if it was a big, powerful agency that could come in there and say, man, we need several million dollars, they not. They just relied on a guy like me to ask for $60,000.
Question is, on second reading amendment number 9, the Senate file 1, would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond, Barreto, Burns, Tate, Coe, Cooper, Dicaria, Beck, Geis, Hastert, Hines, Jennings, Job, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Tech Excuse, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Slatern, President Schiffer.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Votes closed. 19 ayes, 10 noes, 1 excuse.
Second reading amendment number 9 has passed the Senate. Majority floor leader.
Mr. President, I move following the necessary reports that the Senate adjourns till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, February 14th. And I apologize to the committees that I'm cutting their time short. We have 50 amendments. We have, I believe, 34 left to do, and we will do them tomorrow. So it will be a busy day.
Messages from the House.
February 13, 2007, from the House of Representatives. Message number 8, Mr. President. This is to inform you that the House, pursuant to House Rule 8-2, has failed to introduce the bill listed below. House Bill Number 332, bingo. Ayes 38, noes 21, absent 1. Patricia Benson, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committee.
February the 13th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 49, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DeCarrier, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Party, did that clear the desk?
Senate be adjourned until 9 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, February 14th.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, for committee number 5, agriculture trade public lands, water resources. In about 5 minutes, we're going to meet. At the next 15, we're going to take up House Bill 136 in the growth, not well drilling and pump installation. And then tomorrow at noon, we'll have a conference committee
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor Health and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning in our committee room at 8 a.m. We'll complete our action on House Bill 95, Quality Child Care, and House Bill 96, Quality Child Care Appropriations. We will take up House Bill 320, Wyoming Health Information Organization Pilot, and if time permits, we will seek to deal with House Bill 305, Mental Health Professional Practice Act Amendment, and House Bill 122, Psychologist Licensure.
You're up.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider the following House Bills, House Grant Resolution 3, Legislators, Assumption of Duties, House Bill 59, Uniform Trust Code Amendments, House Bill 35, in Growth, Minors in Possession of Alcohol, and House Bill 29, Fleeing to Elude a Peace Officer, and also, Mr. President, Conference Committee on House Bill 21, Income Withholding, will meet tomorrow afternoon upon adjournment.
Further announcements. Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Appropriations Committee will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. To consider House Bill 39, Volunteer Fireman Retirement, House Bill 94, Engrossed Veterans Property Tax Exemption, House Bill 204, Engrossed State Employee Health Insurance, Dependents of Deceased, House Bill 42, Developmental Preschool Funding. We'll finish that up. Then we'll go meet at 1 p.m. in adjournment, depending on our schedule tomorrow.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, 20 minutes after the noon recess, in S18. You consider House Bill 257, in growth, Workers' Compensation, Owner Controlled Insurance, House Bill 226, Real Estate Licensing, House Bill 50, Oil and Gas Units, and House Bill 196, in growth, Appeal Bonds.
Further announcements? The motion is for the Senate to be adjourned until 9 a.m. on February 14th. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The Senate is adjourned until 9 a.m.